Right. Let's do this.
Let's do this. That's a famous Mikel Arteta catchphrase. Did you know that? Let's do this in the Amazon All or Nothing documentary. He said, come on, guys, let's fucking do this. Hey, welcome to A Different Corner, a fantasy football podcast. I hope you're well. And just like a premature referee whistle to put a stop to a Man City counter-attack when they were 3-3 to Spurs, my game week also leaves me with a feeling of what could have been. I am joined by Dr. Lumen Ali. Lumen, sum up your game week. Were you Jack Grealish's angry knee slide celebrating straight into the camera, or a furious Erling Haaland Edvard Munch like the screen painting in the face of the referee?
I was a Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Were you a finger to the lip, shushing up all your critics?
Oh, definitely. I was sweating a bit after Saturday because you killed it on Saturday, but I managed to pull it back.
I don't think I killed it on Saturday. I had probably three more players playing than you, and I doubled your points. So I was on about 30-something. But that made sense because you still had three more players to play. And we ended up, well, we'll talk about it then, actually. What did you end up with?
67 points and no minus four this week.
67 points, no minus four. You said you were not going to touch your team.
I did.
But you did.
I did. I just couldn't help myself. One thing we didn't discuss last week was Alisson's injury. So Alisson pulled up, and then Jürgen Klopp made an announcement to say that he's definitely out until the Man United game. And I thought to myself, 3.9 million with some decent home fixtures. Liverpool are shaky as they have been at the back. I've kept clean sheets at home recently, which is why you've killed it with Kostas Tsimikas. And then he concedes three. So
three is not ideal, but that's not all on him, surely.
I'll be honest with you. I've been watching him for a long time, and he's good enough to start for any team in the Premier League. He is an exceptional goalkeeper.
Wow.
I don't know if it was the weather or whatever, but you know, he has been absolutely brilliant.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely.
So he's
brilliant.
At 3.9. Yeah. Do we know how long Alisson is out for even?
Yeah, until the Man United game at least. So unless he gets injured, he's starting the next couple of games.
Gosh. So actually quite, and I think actually, if you're going to take a punt on a sub goalkeeper, this is the season to do it, because no goalkeepers, as we ended our last chat with, no goalkeepers are doing it. No one at all. So why not save some money and put him in?
Well, what's interesting is our first choice goalkeeper, both you and I, we've got him in because it makes financial sense. Alphonse Areola, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you guess how many clean sheets he's got in 14 games.
Oh, my goodness. In 14 games, West Ham have been winning games, but they've not. I mean, four? Have they had four clean sheets?
You ready for this?
Go on.
One.
One clean sheet for West Ham. Goodness me. That's terrible. That is bad. Areola is still only 4.3, so you can kind of be like,
yeah, which is why, you know, I took the punt on Kelleher at home to Fulham. I thought it'd be a good chance of a clean sheet, but that went up in smoke. like the Dr. Dre talk.
You didn't get points from him. You got 1 point from him, but you got points almost everywhere else. In fact, there's two players who you would have thought that would have got you points. William Saliba at home to Wolves And Jared Bowen, I know he's coming back from an injury, but he's usually good for a goal or an assist. You only got 1 and 2 from them, but otherwise you were stacked with points across your squad, mate. Go on, talk us through it.
I was. I mean, Saliba was gut-wrenching because it was the very, very last minute that they conceded. With Jared Bowen, he's just coming off an injury. But yeah, Soufal, I got him in a couple of weeks ago on the strength of his assists, and he got me an assist. Lascelles, clean sheet. He got a clean sheet for you as well. Saka, consistency personified, you know, the guy keeps doing it. What really helped me on Sunday was Dominic Solanke. I bought him in last week for an easy home game, easy game against Sheffield United, and he doesn't do it, but he did it this week against Villa. And, you know, the usual suspects, Salah, Watkins and Haaland. What's interesting for me this week is I got Taylor on my bench with 10 points, and I was secretly praying that Bowen and Soufal, one of those two, did not play because they had question marks with injuries. But, you know, I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. So, yeah, I'm happy, very happy this week. Very happy. It's after a rough, by my standards, few weeks, you know, finally a decent week. It's not amazing, you know. It's only 13 points above the average, but, you know, it's good enough.
You'll take that. You'll take that. I was also okay-ish. I did a -4 this week, and I did something really... I didn't want to do it, and I just thought, why did I do it? I put Mbeumo in. I did a -4 and took out... I had Doku, which was probably the right thing to do. Mbeumo got an assist, but it cancels out the -4. The one that really... really killed me was Watkins. I was going to keep him in. I saw him with the 50% chance. I thought they're not going to risk him away to Bournemouth when they have got, importantly, Man City and Arsenal at home next. So I thought, take Watkins out and I'll get the striker I've wanted to get in, Isak, in. And I was going to get rid of Alvarez for Isak, but instead I got rid of Watkins for Isak, -4, and it really bit me on the bum, that one did. I ended up with a total of 60. What did I end up with? 63. But then I, of course, I was a -4, so 59 in real terms. I was really, really relishing this game week, though, Lumen, because I had...
I know you are.
H's everywhere. Home games across my first 11.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I should be looking at plus 70 here. And yeah, I fell short of that quite a bit. I did one little thing I suppose pipped you on, but I wanted to know your thoughts on captaincy choices, Salah versus Haaland. I didn't get any bonus points for two assists. I don't know how Haaland got an assist for the first one, by the way. It didn't look like it touched him at all, but maybe it did. And yeah, no bonus points. So I ended up with... I sent 14, was it 12 points for him or something like that? What did I end up? 14 points for him. So only just pipped him. But what was your thinking about the captaincy choice?
Well, right now we're in a state situation where it's either Salah or Haaland for captain. Like everyone is captaining one or the other, right? You might have the odd one captaining Watkins, for example, but everyone's going for Salah or Haaland. I mean, Salah at home to Fulham, he generally scores, right, at home. Yeah. So that was my thinking. But, you know, it's not the end of the world. What's interesting is you and I have both got Haaland. You know, he wasn't captain for me, but he was captain for you. And I was very happy that he got a yellow card, because even though it meant a -1 for me, it was a -2 for you. So
that's nasty, Lumen. That's nasty. We're playing our own game here, Lumen. But no, you're right.
Yeah, and you know, I don't blame you for Isak. You know, he had a wicked game against in the Champions League in midweek. but he didn't have such a wicked game this against Man United.
No, he did
and
not.
He's got some interesting fixtures ahead. Everton away, Spurs away, Fulham at home, Luton away, Forest at home.
The reason I put him in was because I just thought he would relish that United game. And how are United not conceding more goals? It's unbelievable. Against Everton, they should have conceded more goals. Against Newcastle, they should have been battered. And I thought, Isak, I thought missed a one sitter at least. Talking about missing sitters, Haaland missed two sitters, didn't he? So, it wasn't great. I think Isak is my equivalent of your Dominic Solanke. I think he's going to be there for the team. He's the one who's most likely going to score the goals, but it's a hit and miss. And I thought he should have been hitting, to be honest with you. But yeah, let's talk about the Sunday games, because I feel like Sunday would have been sponsored by Uber Eats, because it delivered, Lumen. It delivered a feast of goals.
And we ate. We
ate that day.
We ate.
What did you just... Fantasy football, if we can kind of intertwine it into the conversation, but two huge games with obviously consequences for the title race, even though it's very early on. But what did you think? Firstly, Liverpool-Fulham. What were you thinking as a Liverpool fan watching that as well?
I was thinking, oh God, this is ridiculous. We're playing a Fulham team that are struggling to score. Like really struggling to score. So they set up really well against us defensively. And the evidence of that is every single one of our goals was a worldie. Every single one. They did not make it easy for us. Darwin Nunez, he's in my bad books permanently, and he's been in my bad books permanently for a long time. I am sorry. It just like you know, just because you have a good game, you know, just because like you score a couple of goals as a sub and rescue some points, does not mean you don't show up for other games. And his miss is a criminal, absolutely criminal. And you know, you can't justify it. I mean, one, you know, Salah put him through, hit the crossbar, fair enough. But the other one, Salah puts him through, he's clean, and he falls over. And it's just like, where's the composure at? But, you know, what's been fascinating about Liverpool is the comebacks. We've retrieved the most points from losing situations in the league this season. So that's great. What I would say is Liverpool, considering the dramatic changes we made in the summer, we're doing really well. But it's just like I've spoken about this almost every show. We're just not solid enough defensively, defensive midfield, to sustain us in the long run, you know. We can't keep clawing it back. And this Liverpool team very much reminds me of the Brendan Rodgers title charge with Suarez, where, you know, the big myth about that season is that Steven Gerrard slipped and, you know, we lost the title. No, what happened in that season was, you know, we were conceding 2, 3, 4 goals every game against, like, I still remember we're conceding 3 against Cardiff, but we're scoring 5. 2 against Norwich, we're scoring 3. Like, it catches up with you. It's not sustainable. So, obviously, I was ecstatic that we won. But, you know, in the long run, we need to really tighten up defensively, because it's not sustainable for us to carry on like this.
I was watching some of the Gary Neville breakdown, and he was talking about title challenges, and he was talking about Arsenal and how they are less interesting to watch, but are more prepared this season. And is it that basically a title winning squad has got to be almost a little bit boring? Has got to be like, we're going to score goals and then we're just going to stop you now, because that's just what we've got to do.
In simple terms, every team that has ever won the Premier League There's been teams that have won the Premier League without scoring many goals, right? I remember one season, United, I think it was at their peak, they scored 68 goals, right? But no team, there has never been a single team that's won the Premier League with a bad defence.
Yeah.
It's the defence that wins you the Premier League every season. You know, there's this mindset, you know, that you score, you free score and you win. It's the defence. Honestly, it's the defence. I remember when, you know, when Ronaldo left, United had some teams where, you know, you look at most of those players, they wouldn't even make it into most of the teams. But Fergie had a knack of winning with them. And ultimately, they just kept it tight at the back.
On the other end of the pitch, which was your favourite Liverpool goal of the weekend?
Oh, it's too many. It's just too many. It's so hard to choose. But that McAllister goal was a rocket. Absolute Ooh. Rocket. Yeah.
That was the one I saw retweeted the most. I think for all different reasons, when you think of McAllister's just technique, the shot wasn't even on, I didn't think. Trent's, oh my gosh, the guy can deliver a ball, man. Oh my goodness, what a free kick.
Yeah.
Endo's, that because of the moment in the game as well, you know, to get it back to where 3-3, I think that was, right?
Yeah, his celebration was incredible because he went for the ball and he was hungry. Him and Mo Salah went for the ball and they wanted to score. Yeah, and obviously the fourth one.
And of course, Trent, like, pressure moment and just Anfield erupts. But, and talking about Trent, I'm kind of rehashing our running order here a little bit. But Trent, fantasy football terms now. Trent Alexander-Arnold, do we need to talk about him as a potential to bring in?
What happened yesterday was that Dominic Szoboszlai was subbed and Joe Gomez came on.
Mm-hmm.
So Szoboszlai and McAllister got subbed. Szoboszlai and McAllister got subbed and Joe Gomez and Cody Gakpo got subbed on. Now, I know what you're thinking. Two midfielders off and one defender and one midfielder slash forward on. How does that make sense? Well, that defender went in defence and Trent played in midfield.
Right.
So, and a mate of mine messaged me to say this is what they should do long term, which is play Gomez at the back and play Trent in the middle. So potentially it's there. I think with Trent, for me, Trent's like Trippier, where they've been fantastic in odd games, but does the inconsistency justify the price tag?
Yeah, this is the problem.
So for example, let's look at Trippier, for example, right? He got he is clear at the top of the defender standings, right? And he is clear by
almost 20 points.
Yeah. So you automatically think to yourself, that's a no-brainer. You get him in, right? But then the issue with Trippier is relative. The reason why he's so ahead is because the other defenders haven't been so good. And this is the challenge with Trippier in a nutshell. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In 14 games, he's had 7 returns. And in the other games, he's had 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 2, 2. So it's whether you're willing to put up with that at 7 million and get him in. And it's the same with Trent.
So basically, every 1 in 2 games, half of his games, he's going to return, which isn't bad, you know. I'm just looking at his numbers as well. 7 assists this season, and you compare that to Trent, who's got 2 goals and 2 assists this season. And of course, Trippier is a million cheaper. I like Trent as a player because of how he delivers this ball. His technique is unbelievable. I just think he puts it in all the right places. He's on free kicks. He's on corners.
Yeah.
If he plays in midfield, I think he's got that freedom to go forward and knows what he's doing. I would love to see Trent in midfield. I would love to see that. I kind of feel like Klopp probably thought, well, this is a chaotic game. Let's just throw a bit more chaos into it and get Trent further up the pitch. And it worked out, obviously. But is there enough of those coming up? They've got Liverpool have got Sheffield United next, Palace, then Man United, then Arsenal. I don't know how many clean sheets there are going to be for Trent, but maybe attacking returns. Certainly on that Trippier stuff, that Trippier stats, one in every two games, 50% returns is actually not bad. And in a season, I wanted to mention this, in a season where there is no Harry Kane. Now, I'm going to go around the long way around here. There's no Harry Kane. Yeah, yeah. So you are saving like 11 million there. You know you're getting, you can stick in a bargain striker who isn't like a bad striker here. There are mid, you know, 5 to 7 million pound players. Your Dominic Solanke's, Alvarez in that category, Cunha at Wolves. There are a lot of players who you can save a lot of money for. And I wonder if this season you can afford more than any other season to stick in a premium defender like a Trent or a Trippier.
Well, you can't. The reason I say that is because, not the reason I say that is, if you look at my team, I've got that budget forward in Solanke, but I have nowhere near enough money to get in Trippier. So I've got 0.2 in the bank, right? If I took out my most expensive defender, William Saliba, who's worth 5.5, I'd still be almost a million and a half short.
Fine.
You have to still do some acrobatics.
Yeah, I wonder then if those acrobatics, in your case, has to be done in the midfield. Because even in the midfield, there are bargains to be had. Like, you could replace a Son with a Gordon. There's Bowen, who could save you a few million. There are midfielders also who are coming to the game this season on a budget price, that 5-6, maybe pushing at 7 million.
I think we've spoken about Son before. And you know what? For whatever reason, it's just the way the fixtures play out. But Spurs always play last every weekend. Like, it's freakish. Yeah, because I'm always waiting on Son to save me. Like, it's freaky. So, Son, I mean, do you think he's worth it? As someone who doesn't have him.
I do not have him. Son is the biggest feast or famine player on the game. Let me give you these Son stats here, okay? Son has either blanked or he's double digited. Only in one game he's scored a return and not double digited. In every other return, he's had double digit returns. That is more than Erling Haaland. This season, he's had 5 double digit returns. So it's either you're getting masses of points or you're getting a 2 or a 1 from him even. He is the biggest feast or famine player. Now, whether you think that is worth, what is he? 9.6 million pounds. That is up to you. I don't know. But I don't know, 9 goals and 2 assists. So.
Spoke about him last week. What did we say? He blanked, but he scored 3 goals that were offside.
Yeah.
And I was telling you that he plays up top for them. He's a striker.
He does. What did you make of that game altogether, actually? Man City, Spurs and so on.
Oh, Man City, I think a lot has been made of Kevin De Bruyne being injured. But I think if you look at it, Kevin De Bruyne's injury record hasn't been brilliant in recent years and they've won without him, right? I think there's a player that they're missing even more than De Bruyne and it's not being spoken about.
Go on.
And that's Ilkay Gundogan.
Of course, yeah.
Ilkay Gundogan, I don't think he is ever going to get the recognition he deserves. You know, when you talk about the Premier League greats, your Scholes, your Lampards, your Gerrards and your De Bruyne's, Gundogan will never get mentioned, but Gundogan, if you look at everything he's done, his body of work, where he could do everything. He could play as a defensive midfielder and control the game, or he could play up top and score key goals, could do it all, and they are badly missing him. I think what happened with him was it was the length of contract that was the issue. I think Man City made a major boo-boo there, because finding players like that is almost impossible. Mm. Where it's not just the talent, it's the intelligence and the temperament. And Gundogan is being missed badly. I mean, if it's Gundogan alongside Rodri, mm-hmm. it's a different game, yeah. As opposed to Akanji. I mean, Stones has done well, but Gundogan, you know, if they had him, there would have been a lot more control over the last few games, and they wouldn't have conceded as much. So Man City are very leaky at the moment, and we've spoken about this. They just like Liverpool, they're just not, you know, so great at keeping it out.
The issue is, Lumen, the issue is we spoke about Liverpool defensively, and we've just said, you know, defences win you titles. But why do we still think, if we think Liverpool won't because of a leaky defence, why do we still put Man City as favourites in spite of a leaky defence?
Oh, that's a simple answer. Because with Liverpool, you know they'll keep going on like this, whereas Pep will fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Liverpool will carry on with the chaos because they don't have the personnel. Man City do have the personnel, because when John Stones is back, you know, when De Bruyne is back, they've got the personnel to do it, whereas Liverpool don't have the personnel. And that's the difference. And also, our manager's more stubborn than theirs in some senses, where, you know, I know Pep's got a reputation, but he can adapt and he will adapt to make them more solid.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's where I think...
12 months ago, Arsenal were top. Apparently, we'd just beaten Wolves to also go top. We were in that same position again, and look what happened. Everyone's saying, oh, look, Arsenal top, 4 points clear, or 3 points clear, or whatever it is. But I just, you know, Man City are Man City, and Pep is Pep. I'm just waiting for when they actually turn up, and yeah.
I'll tell you what the difference is for me between last season and this season. Last season, Arsenal completely fluffed it. I mean, to be that far ahead after 29 games, they fluffed it, right? And that was a historic fluff for me. That's something that if you look at that and you go, that's a historic collapse. And Man City took a full advantage. The difference is, this season, the gap's not as big, right? Man City have what? Lost against Arsenal recently, and they've drawn three games on the bounce. They're only 3 points off the top.
Yeah.
That's where everyone else should be scared, whereas this is Man City's bad spell and they're only 3 points off the top. So that's why I think it's inevitable. Yeah, it's inevitable that they're going to go on that run of games and just turn it on. They'll stay within touching distance until the new year, and then they're going to figure it out.
Pep is Thanos. Pep is Thanos. Pep and his bald head are Thanos. They are inevitable. He just needs to click his fingers and then he will wipe out the half of the universe. Brilliant. Let's move on. We've mentioned United not conceding more. We mentioned that because Alexander Isak, I don't know how they're not getting battered more often.
It's crazy when you look at how their clean sheet stats. I mean, they've got more clean sheets than I think Onana's got the most clean sheets in the league.
Oh my goodness. How is that happening?
I honestly don't get it. It's one of the greatest mysteries in the universe, honestly. As you know, you just like, how? But they're doing it, and then, you know, you have to ask yourself, am I gonna get in a United defender?
Well, yeah, it's got to be a question. They've got Chelsea at home next, and if not, just pure on luck, they might just get a clean sheet there. We'll go to tomorrow's fixtures in a second. But just a roundup of the other games. Arsenal won 2-1. Clean sheets would have been nice for a lot of players on fantasy. Burnley 5-0, by the way, at home to Sheffield United. Everton clawed back a few points from their 10-point deduction at 1-0. And then we've been through the Sunday games. One Sunday game I want to mention, and a team who are quietly becoming good, Bournemouth. I know they were playing at home and Villa aren't great away, but to still get a 2-2 draw to Villa is a good result. And if you look at Bournemouth's recent... So Bournemouth hadn't won a game in the first 9 matches. They've now, in the last 5, won 3, drawn 1, and only lost 1. And that one was to Man City. You went early on Dominic Solanke. How pleased are you that Dominic Solanke is in your squad right now?
I'm happy, but there's two, like, it's really interesting, right? Every season you go through this where even if you're doing well, you know, and even if you've got £1 million house, and even if you've got, you know, immaculately cut lawn, swimming pool, and you're sipping a nice drink with an umbrella in it, you can't just help but peer over your neighbour's garden.
Oh dear.
And when I peer over my neighbour's garden, whatever joy I'm having in life, and it's good, I don't know why, but it just fizzles out when I see my neighbour having a kickabout with Hee Chan Wang and Anthony Gordon.
Yes, but Anthony Gordon, I mean, Anthony Gordon, what can you say? He has done it again.
I doubted him. I've doubted him. I said to you, I think that, you know, he's not going to maintain it, but he has. So I was spectacularly wrong with Gordon.
You know what? Thing is with Newcastle, they basically play with 3 strikers. It's that 4-3-3 style play, and Anthony Gordon comes in very narrow. I mean, I'm surprised Almiron's not getting few more because he also gets in the mix. But it's basically Gordon, Isak, and Almiron, they attack with midfielders joining. But Gordon has just been so good there. But I wouldn't look so jealously over the fence there, Lumen. Dominic Solanke.
Gordon's been so good. I've been thinking of dropping Bowen for him.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Wow. That is surprising. Gordon's 6 goals and 5 assists this year. Jared Bowen, he has just come back from an injury, bless him. He's on 8 goals and 1 assist. So Gordon's got the better of him on assist, but Bowen's getting more goals. Interesting one. Newcastle are away to Everton and West Ham are away to Spurs. Is that a move? Are you really going to make that move?
I don't know. It's crazy when I see how well everyone's got Gordon but me. And same with Huang, Hee Chan Huang, you know. I look at him and I think, oh God, I wish I could have him.
Let's go. That's something for you to mull over the next 24 hours, because the game week deadline is 6 p.m. on Tuesday. But let's just quick feature. Let's do a quick I'm Done With. My favourite George Michael song is 1998's Outside. The best video, best lyrics, personally for me. The lyrics go, I think I'm done with the sofa. I think I'm done with the hall. I think I'm done with the kitchen table, baby. Now, which player are you done with, Lumen? George Michael's song was very much about someone who he loves in a very specific kind of way. Which player do you hate in a very specific kind of way? Who are you done with? Who are you trying to work out of your squad?
I have first world problems and I don't have anyone I actually hate. It's interesting.
Oh, wow.
There's players in my squad that are on the fringes where there's players that are untransferable. The Haalands, the Watkins, the Sakas, the Salahs, the Sons, mm-hmm. the Salibas, you know, Areola because of his cost, Taylor because of his cost, you know, they're untransferable, right? But then, you know, Nakamba, Sufal, Solanke, you know, they're all, on any given week, you know, they're expendable. You know, they're expendable. So, you know, I'm happy. It was a decent week. I climbed up a bit worldwide, you know, I'll tell you what happened. So I was last week down to 77,000, but I've gone back up to 56,000. So I just need to keep that trajectory going.
56,000 in the world. That's unbelievable numbers. Unbelievable numbers. The play I'm done with, and it's, I don't know even why I did it, but I only just brought him in this week. Brian Mbeumo, ladies and gentlemen. I only brought him in. You know, when you're at home to Luton Town, I expect more than an assist. He also only played 77 minutes. So I don't know what's going on here. He's got in his next fixture Brighton away, Sheffield United away, and then Villa at home, and then a blank. My guy needs to, deliver in the next game. Otherwise, he's straight out of my team straight away. I don't know what it is about him. Every time I get him in, I can't get points from him. I like him as a player. Yeah, Joachim Andersen at Crystal Palace, but Crystal Palace are not keeping any clean sheets. I'm trying to get there. They're the two I'm done with. Quickly then, game week 15 is tomorrow evening. We've got some interesting ones. For me, I'm almost every player away, which is not ideal for me.
But I don't know. For you, you mentioned that you've got a lot of H's before, but I think you're going to bring your A game this week.
Oi. I hope so, Lumen, because I'm not as confident. I'm either going to do a -4 and do two transfers, or I'm going to stick. I don't know which of the two I'm going to do, because I like Wolves at Burnley and I like Mateus Cunha at Wolves, by the way. He does play in that front 2-3. I kind of like that fixture. Otherwise, what else do I like? Liverpool away to Sheffield United should be the banker.
But Sheffield United are going to sack their manager and they're going to have a new manager bounce.
Definitely. Not in the next 24 hours, they're not. Definitely.
It always happens. It's a guarantee. The new manager bounce is a guarantee. You know, players all of a sudden, it's like a switch. It's crazy. Like, they become like, you know, title winners on the new managers.
Has that happened? Have they actually sacked?
It's going to happen. Ornstein has done a tweet saying he's going to be sacked. Oh, so God. Someone responded by saying, "What Sheffield United play like prime Barcelona against this?"
Villa at City is a tough one. You know what? I think Villa are winning that game, by the way. I think Aston Villa are beating Man City. You heard it here first. What do you think? I wish I had Ollie Watkins back in my team. Oh, why did I take him out? Man U, Chelsea, who knows what might happen in that game? Who knows? That is a real toss-up. Everton, Newcastle is a tough one. I can see Newcastle doing that. I really need Isak to perform there. Spurs and West Ham. I think Son's having a field day there against the West Ham defence, which we know is 1 in 14. Clean sheets, goodness me. What about you, Lumen? Anything there?
I've got players playing against each other. So Son and Bowen will be playing against each other. Watkins and Haaland will be playing against each other. For me, the default setting is to captain Salah or Haaland, but you just mentioned Son and it's just... That'll be the one if I captained Son and he returned. But for now, it's Salah as captain.
Oh, I would be very tempted in a differential captain of Son there, personally speaking, if I had him. Because he's at home. And Son, yeah, he's all or nothing. And I feel like against a West Ham leaky defence, he will be everything. But let's see. Let's find out. Let's catch up after Tuesday then. Let's do this again. Good luck. May the green arrows be with you, my friend.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Take care. Speak soon. Bye.